you even listening to me? Can I talk to you for a second?
Oh my God, I was dying.
You totally have to hear this. Do you have a minute right now?
It's
really important.
It's important. Okay.
I just
keep it on the dime. Talk.
In today's Overshare show, I interview Shoshana Roberts, and she was the woman featured in that viral video about street harassment. It has about 39 million views on YouTube, and it is entitled 10 Hours of Walking in New York City as a Woman. And I think that this video is indicative of the very confused state of sexuality between men and women in current society. I mean, I know at one point it was socially acceptable for cavemen to bat women over the head with their wooden flogs and then drag them by the hair into the cave. That's kind of frowned upon now in modern times. And I think that there is a sort of balance that men and women are trying to forge in how to relate to each other sexually. So when women get street harassed, I think the negative backlash is, oh, what's the big deal? It's a compliment. Or what were you wearing? Were you asking for it? Or they say, it's just words, get over it. Blah. And I think that Shoshana really addresses this in not only like a philosophical way, but a spiritual way. And there is a corrosive impact of always being objectified by your sexuality when you're just trying to go to the store and get a sandwich or maybe get in the train and go to the doctor to deal with some medical problems. I mean, there's a lot of things that you could be doing where you don't necessarily want some guy to be like, nice tits. Yeah, they are amazing, but can we not talk about that? Because I have a giant skin tag on my hip that I have to get removed. You don't know what's going on with somebody. You have no idea. So I think the point of this video was to show that, hey, women deal with this not only daily, but sometimes multiple times in one day. And what would that do to your psyche if every day someone was like, hey, like, I really enjoy your ball swinging. Why don't you swing those balls over here, buddy? I mean, it might be cool the first day or the first time. You'd be like, okay, that's kind of all right. But then every day you keep getting that about your ball swinging. Eventually you might be like, stop with the balls already. I've had enough. So I really enjoyed this conversation with Shoshana. I have to say that I actually had a much different understanding of the video and perception of the video after I talked to her. So of those of you who are maybe critical of it or have assumptions about what was going on, I highly suggest you listen to this interview with her because she breaks it down. And she's also a very intelligent woman, and I found her to be incredibly inspiring. So enjoy. No, it's okay. We're good. I feel connected to your aura and your essence.
Okay. Okay, cool.
Okay, so one question I had for you was, what originally inspired you to make this video?
I actually signed on after the video was already in action. The director of the video came up with the idea. And he contacted the nonprofit. I saw the posting that said, street harassment PSA, we need some to film someone walking down the street. And unfortunately, I've had a lot of experiences with sexual assault in my past. Starting in middle school, my friend's older brother touched me, and I've had other incidents that I've filed with the police throughout college. And past then, I've been living in New York for a few years now, and there are a lot of people, so it does happen more frequently. But this is something I was dealing with in my small Amish country college town. And when I was, I mean, it's just something I knew I wanted to sign on to it. It wasn't actually my idea to do it because I was so frustrated with it happening so frequently and giving me PTSD basically from these events, that it wasn't actually my idea. I just was like, this is something I'm passionate about and I want to be a part of.
So do you mention that there was a call out to a nonprofit? Is this a nonprofit that you work with or you're affiliated with somehow?
No, I actually didn't have any contact with them until after the filming. I looked up Holla Back. I wanted to make sure that I agreed with their message, and I read all about them, about changing hearts and minds, and all these people who post to their site about their specific stories and where it happened all over the world. So I knew that it was an organization I wanted to affiliate myself with. Unfortunately, the director turns out to be someone I didn't really know, and I didn't want to jeopardize the message, but I wanted everyone to hear my story, because we really should be interacting with respect no matter where we are, no matter who we're talking to or communicating with, whether verbally or non-verbally.
I mean, one of the things that you said mm-hmm. that I've never thought of is the fact mm-hmm. that these people harassing you brought up PTSD from past, you know, sexual experiences where you felt violated. And I think that's a really interesting point that often isn't discussed, is that when you're harassing a woman, you don't know her history or what she's experienced. And even if a guy sees it as a semi-compliment, it could actually really trigger her in a profound way.
The statistics of, like, I don't know all the numbers, but there are so many people who have the same exact story as me. Like, my story isn't unique. It's like 1 in 5 women has been sexually assaulted. And so it's clear that I'm not the only one having PTSD from this. And the thing is, normally, like, yeah, I push it back to the back of my mind. I do, like, I'm a very happy person, and I walk down the street on a regular basis initiating conversation, saying hello, smiling, saying good morning. And it's just a matter of intonation, intention, nonverbal communication. These guys are noticing my nonverbal communication, but they're choosing to ignore it. I mean, they're not stupid. There's a video of they dressed up someone's mom in something form-fitting, and they did her makeup, and she looked very attractive. And this guy catcalled his mom, and she realized, like, she was like, oh, they told me you were doing this. And she, like, and she started yelling at him. And he's like, oh, I don't normally do this. No, I'm sorry. Like, he knew it was wrong. Like, despite, he's like, no, I don't normally do this. And yes, he does, because they had him on camera doing it so many times. But the thing is, it's not like it's news to these people that, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this. It's just, sorry, I'm going on a small rant. I'm very passionate about the subject. But I consider myself part hippie. Like, I'm all about the beauty of the human body, appreciating each other, communication, and interactions with everybody. I can't go anywhere without speaking to anybody. But what's different about one person saying, hi, like, how's it going today, is all about the respect in their voice and their actions.
Right. And I think you brought up the word intention, which is really key. When your intention is to genuinely get to know someone's spirit body and connect to their heart chakra, that's one thing. But if your intention is just to make a comment that makes you feel masculine by demeaning the woman or sexualizing her, then your intention isn't to get to know her. It isn't even to get to connect to her in any way. It's purely for your own ego or your own understanding of your masculinity, rather than an actual effort to be like, exactly, I want to get to know you as a human.
Yes. Oh, I love what you're saying. I 100% wholeheartedly agree, because they're not saying hello to the guy behind me, and they're not saying hello to the guy 10 paces in front of me. They specifically just chose me with my feminine genitalia.
And I mean, it's funny, like, I wonder to a certain extent, when you think of the type of woman that gets harassed, I did not see you as wearing a particularly provocative outfit, or, you know, trying to put on the sass where you're like, stare at me. It looked like you had a backpack on, you were going somewhere, you had a mission or an agenda. And I think there, you know, oftentimes people excuse their behavior by being like, well, I mean, she was like wanting us to look at her or buy her sexy clothes. I mean, obviously that's not an excuse, but even in your particular instance, it's not like you were super dressed up either. You seemed kind of like I'm just going out for the day.
The director mentioned he wanted to make sure I wasn't in something like low cut or anything. He just wanted me. He was like, wear a t-shirt and jeans. So I just grabbed a t-shirt and jeans from my dresser. And the whole thing about, yeah, there's a Tumblr about showing it doesn't matter what you wear. And people post what they've been wearing when they've been catcalled. I've been on my way to the holiest day of the year ceremony, Yom Kippur for me. And I was in clothes for synagogue, which was, I mean, sort of like baggy long sleeve up to my neck, wide sort of flowing floor length skirt. And someone still like was in my face making kissy lips at me. And I was on the phone and he was like mad that I wasn't going to stop my phone call, which was actually about my father's health. to not respond to these kissy faces. Like, I was on the phone, clearly. I was in the middle of speaking. I wasn't in anything. I was in what you would call modest dress. But even beyond that, we shouldn't have to stifle our freedom to wear whatever we want just because someone else can't control themselves. I know children who can behave themselves and control what they say. I babysit for so many families, and kids are better behaved than the people who catcall me on the streets. I mean, I've been catcalled when I was grieving my grandfather's death. Oh my gosh, I'm losing train of thought because I'm so energetic. There's so many points I want to make. In terms of the, it's not what you wear. I had mentioned, I think I had been about to tell this story before, but I went to school in Kutztown University. It's this small Amish country area in Pennsylvania, and it's a tiny little, like, they have a main street with some shops, and the rest is residential in the college campus. So I was walking. It was like a sort of blah day, probably like foggy or raining or something, because I had rain boots on, sweatpants, as well as a big bushy jacket. Nobody else is around. A car comes by and yells slut out the window at me.
Right.
I was in a big bushy jacket, sweatpants, and rain boots.
Right. And I think, you know, it's funny because you mentioned that you're really friendly and you seem like a confident person. And I think that confidence is really threatening. I had an experience when I was pretty young. I think I was 12 or 13. Mm-hmm. I was really young and I was walking down the street and I was feeling good. I was feeling happy and I had like Timberland boots on and jeans and a plaid jacket. Like, again,
I have a pair of Timberlands. I love them.
Timberland boots are the shit. 1993.
They've lasted me for like 6 years. Yeah.
So I'm just like wearing a normal outfit. I think my jacket was from the Gap. All right. That's the amount of sexiness that was going on there. And I was 13. I mean, I don't think I looked older than 13. I had braces. And this guy passed me. And I will never forget his face. He looked like a normal guy, like maybe in his 20s, early 30s, with maybe feathered hair. And he looked right in my face and said, I bet your pussy tastes real good. And I was like, I was never the same after that. Like, I used to look people in the eye when I walked around, and I wasn't afraid to keep my head up. And after that, I was like, ugh. And I stopped looking up, and I looked down.
That's disgusting. And you shouldn't have to change your behavior for him not being a nice person.
Yeah.
Nobody should have the right to make you feel that way. I mean, that, because it's all about, people are saying, like, in response to this, but we clearly hit a nerve. There was so much support, but there definitely was backlash as well. People are saying, oh, what, like, you just want to lock up everyone who does this. And it's like, no, we just want to change hearts and minds and for people to know that this is not okay, or to stop ignoring the fact that they know it's not okay and they're still doing it. Like, they just want to feel like they have power over us, I guess. I don't know. Like, I don't know what to do when these things happen either. I've been squeezed on my butt, on my side, by strangers. I had someone by the Flatiron Building on 23rd Street, like right by the PC Richards there in Manhattan, tell me that they wanted to eat my asshole. Like,
Jesus Christ.
Like, right? I'm like, okay, my boyfriend isn't even allowed to do that.
I mean, okay, I want to talk a little bit about the backlash of this video. Yeah.
one obvious complaint that people had was the racial aspect, that there weren't a lot of white guys that were making these comments, and it kind of, you know, demonized brown men. I mean, what was your reaction or feeling when people were saying that?
Okay, so there are a few things to this. First of all, I am telling my story, and there's no common thing. Like, people of all colors, shapes, sizes, ages harass me. It has nothing to do with what color they are. Nothing. Like, I'm telling my story, and people can say, oh, it was edited this way, blah, blah, blah. I had nothing to do with editing. I contributed a few creative suggestions because I'm like, oh, like, let's walk where I normally walk, which is everywhere.
Right.
And the director was like, okay, well, let's head to Harlem for a little bit. And I was like, okay, yeah, I normally walk around there because I have people I babysit for at 116th. I have people I babysit for at 131st or 130th. And I'm always there. I'm just like, okay, and let's head. Then he was like, let's head to Midtown. And I was like, sure. And I said, you know, like, there, my side was squeezed in Chelsea. Let's walk around there. And so, I mean, I didn't see all the 10 hours of footage. I was just walking.
Right.
And contributing. Like, I was doing all my acting training and stuff because his back was to me. He was walking in front of me with the GoPro strapped to his back.
Right.
So, like, he wasn't, like, aware of who was or wasn't catcalling until he checked the footage. I mean, he did say, don't smile, excuse me, and stuff like that, because initially I was. We took a break and he checked some of the footage, but it's just so frustrating because I didn't see all that footage. He edited it, or someone he knows edited it, I don't know, but I didn't see all that footage. And yes, it's very easy to edit something so many different ways. And this isn't someone I knew before this project, and this is someone who's been very disrespectful to me since the project. So I was defending him, and I really don't know this person, so maybe I can't say yes or no whether or not he did portray it in a certain way because I didn't see the footage.
Right. I mean, I think that when I watched it, it was definitely something that I noticed. It was one of the first things I noticed. But at the same time, I don't think that that should be any indicator of what the overall message was. I mean,
no.
I think that if you were in Williamsburg, for instance, with, like, a bunch of hipsters, yeah, like, maybe you wouldn't have been as sexually harassed in that obvious way. But then those are the guys that will, you know, roofie you and take you home and rape you in a different context. Like, it's not like sexual harassment doesn't exist in all classes and all racial backgrounds. It does. It just exists in different forms.
I've had white businessmen in suits, like, harass me.
Do you mind if I ask, or I'm not trying to pry, but you said the director.
I'm a very open person.
You said the director was disrespectful towards you after the project. Can you go into that a little bit? What was that about?
I'll tell you about it because I mentioned it because someone was asking on a radio show I just did the other day. So I signed on to do this as it was posted as a PSA, a public service announcement.
Right.
So what I'm thinking of is, like, on TV when they talk about weed or drinking and stuff like that, it's about raising public awareness. It's a public service announcement. I had no clue that money was going to be involved in any way. I didn't see the final video until it was released on YouTube. And I wholeheartedly agree with Hollaback. I hope to work with them in the future in some way. But I was not aware that there would be donations, and people, there was a lot of backlash about the donation saying, oh, why would we give this bitch our money? I have no clue what the money was going to. The money wasn't going to me. And then it was also made aware to me after the media storm. Because it was a crazy time when this went viral. I wasn't aware that he put ads on, and I contributed creative ideas as well as my image, as well as my emotions. And I put so much creatively, physically, mentally into this And I signed up for a PSA, not for him to profit, to monetary gain off of me and my story.
I mean, it's kind of using you rather than collaborating with you.
I'm all about, like, I talk to people about respect, and he just showed a complete lack of respect for me, because it really does seem like he just, he might have had the intention of putting ads on it the whole time. I have no clue. But it's, 39 million views and counting. He's probably made a really nice chunk of change. And it's just, I talked with Holla back, and he didn't present them with any of that money. They're like, oh, that's all him. He has the rights to the video. But it's just really frustrating, because he was saying, oh, like, I hope this goes viral, because nobody's being paid for their work. When that's a direct lie, if he knew that he was going to put ads on. And the fact that he knew he was going to ask for donations for the organization. So he's getting his ad revenue. The organization is getting their donations, which I fully support, even though I don't know what it's going to. I trust them. They are amazing. And then I get people who say they want to slit my throat and hit me with a bag of dog shit.
Yeah, I feel that what the audience perceived watching it was that this was your project, you know? So, and then all the hate and all the aggression that gets targeted at you, not at some director who was behind the camera or even the organization. And I think there was a lot of anger and hate towards you. I mean, how did that feel? Were you able to kind of differentiate between your own understanding of self-esteem and the internet trolls that were going to attack you? I mean, how did that impact you psychologically?
I mean, this is every single person who's in the media that I respect for their personality or for their talent has these trolls commenting awful things on their videos. So that started with keeping things in perspective. But I'm not a robot. I'm human. I was scared for my life after I get someone saying they wanted to slit my throat, and other people gave me specific days for their threats.
Oh, God.
And I was really scared. I've definitely had some emotional breakdowns, and I've been talking with the psychiatrist. I was prior, but things have gotten worse, and I've been, pulling out my eyebrows. Luckily, I have a thick skin. Like, I'm still confident. I want to get on with my acting career. But I have a pretty tough skin. I'm not a robot. And I think of these things, but they're not going to break me, fortunately. I had enough bullying as a kid that also, I'm good.
I mean, I think the thing that to me is really tragic is the intention behind this video was obviously to, like you said, be a PSA, raise awareness to the fact that, hey, if it's not clear to you, this is a pandemic in our society and women are harassed on a daily basis and this shouldn't be the way that we interact with one another. And rather than that being the prevailing message, there was all sorts of other kind of loaded issues that got tied into it. And I think although a lot of the success and the viralness was because people were genuinely impacted and affected by it, it's just so, I think indicative of the culture we live in. I mean, I know a lot of people use the term rape culture, but it's about victim blaming and it's about kind of, you know, picking you apart rather than let's look at these men that are actually doing this.
I haven't even reported all of the physical assaults that have happened to me because I was so scared. I didn't think anything would be done about it. I didn't think people would believe me. I haven't reported. I've had almost a dozen cases of sexual assault and similar stuff, like being touched on the street. And I should have reported it all, but I mean, I'm a strong person and I still didn't. I have martial arts training since I was 9, taekwondo, Itami Jitsu, Krav Maga, judo, stage combat even. And with how scared I am, I can't imagine the people who haven't had training, what their thoughts are when they think, what should I do? Like, I'm a strong person.
Yeah, but in the moment, I think it's really disarming and you feel really vulnerable. you know, one of the things that I think of a lot in terms of my experience as a woman is I'm often seen as a vagina first and a human second. And this manifests in so many different ways. I mean, even the cliche of you can't be friends with guys because all your guy friends want to fuck you. There's something really depressing about the fact that when someone invites you to coffee, you have to kind of be like, wait, are we just having coffee? Are you trying to finger bang me? Like, what's actually happening? There's no or there's a lack of like true authenticity between the male and female at this point in our, you know, current paradigm, because there is a lack of truth, you know, and like that's where I feel like it's a little bit convoluted. I mean, it would be so much easier if men were direct and women were direct and we could just be really direct about our feelings and our intentions in a respectful way. But people have a hard time doing that.
I mean, that's a question that was posed to me a lot. Well, how do you approach someone if you want to interact? And I was talking about how it's to them, how it's situation specific. I mean, you have to just read each situation as it comes. There's no blanket statement to deal with people because everyone is different. Everyone has different baggage. Some people, like everyone reacts to harassment differently and everyone views different things as whether, not everyone views the same interactions as harassment. So there is no guideline for every situation and people are looking for just blanket statements of how to interact with people. And I say, just be aware of your surroundings, speak with respect, be like, it's so, cause I don't even know what to do. Cause I try interacting with people all the time and with me being so friendly, it's been misinterpreted a lot of times.
Right. And I'm sure people thought you were flirting when really you were trying to get to know someone. And I do think it's interesting, the idea of public space, because this is all happening in these public spaces. And if you're low income and you don't have a lot of places to go because you can't afford to go inside places, the public space of the street is where you would technically meet people, you know. And I do think there is kind of a culture that exists that's acceptable where you're kind of like, hey, what's up? And that's how you can make a connection with someone. But like you're saying, there's a very nuanced line between you know, using the public space as a way to build community and using the public space as a way to impress your friends by, you know, lewd comments that you make at someone or even to impress yourself. Yeah. Like the guy that was following you, I think that was a really impactful moment for how long he just followed you.
I was scared out of my mind. And the only reason that it probably, like, I wasn't, that I was aware of, but a lot of comments, like, I didn't hear. I've been working on my brain for 24 years, almost 25 years, and, like, I didn't, like, I had thoughts in my head. Like, what a concept. So I didn't even hear all of the comments that were said to me.
Right.
And it's, that guy, like, people were saying, like, what happened? Like, how did he stop? It's because Rob, the director, he had, like, paused and, like, backed up to meet with me. And for us to take a break, like that could have ended very differently.
Right.
I mean, I made a sort of lighthearted joke about it, but it's also very serious. I was like, I was thinking, should I go for the sternum or the kneecaps? I mean, it's a joke, but it's also very serious. Like that's what I was actually thinking.
Yeah. I mean, he was following you for a really long time. And at what point was that going to stop? Like what you said beforehand about body language, you weren't engaging with him. You were giving him the body language, so it should have been clear that you weren't interested.
And I tried speeding up.
Yeah, people ignore that.
I tried slowing down.
Yep.
Like, the footage was, there was someone else walking near me at the time, so, like, I'm sure I was blocked on some shots. And also, he wanted to have it be concise, because nobody wants to watch, like, a 10-minute video, like, with the attention span of people these days. So he wanted to make it short, and every second counted, he was saying, with editing. So I'm sure that's why he didn't want to put in, like, the whole amount. That would take up the entire video and longer. And the thing is, what you didn't see is me speeding up to go around people and him hurrying after. Or me slowing down to try and let other people pass and him slowing his pace. Like, it was step for step him matching me despite changes in my gait.
Right, and that's really aggressive. Mm-hmm. It's a very aggressive behavior. I mean, when you think about, you know, the way men and women treat each other, and again, like, I bring up the word rape culture because it is something that's talked a lot about. So what do you feel that is the main thing that women can do and men can do together or within their own heart space to address this kind of pandemic issue?
It's about supporting people. The changing hearts and minds is really important because people, this has been a long time situation. It's not like this is the first time people hear about it. It's just, it's more out in the open now and discussed publicly. I want men and women to just know that this is happening. It's happening this frequently to people you know, your mothers, sisters, daughters, and not just women, to people who are gay, to people who are shorter than average. I mean, people who are different in any way get harassed. There was this article about this guy who put on makeup and him, and every day he'd do, like, he'd have help doing a little bit more. And I mean, the homophobia that he encountered as catcalling and street harassment was just as ridiculous as what I encounter. I totally got off subject, but I want people to know that there is a support system. When I was squeezed in Chelsea, like my side, there was a man after I burst out crying who was like, "What happened?" Like, oh, and when I told him, like, he was like, "Oh, who is he? Which one? Let me go after him." And just knowing that there was someone there who supported me helped the healing process that much, to go that much more rapidly.
I mean, that's really profound as a concept. And I think that that's one thing that men can and should take away, is that even if this isn't behavior that you engage in, you can stand up for women if you see it. And you can also be a ear for them to open up to about it. Because, like, it's healing if you can talk to a man about the abuse you've experienced from a man.
I hear myself talking about this, though. And even now I'm saying, well, we can do this and we can do this. The thing is, we shouldn't even have to deal with this. The whole thing, like, it's like, don't catcall. Don't harass people. Speak with respect. Like, that's what I should have said. Like, even me, I'm trying to say, well, in response to this, when we should be dealing with the actual issue. Like, I hear myself, the media influence or culture influence on my own rant.
Right.
Which is ridiculous.
I mean, I think the main difference between men and women that I see is the difference between women being sexually objectified, and the male body is objectified in a different way, whether it's like as a instrument of war or violence or what have you. But they're not sexually objective in the same way women are. And there was this, you know, kind of interesting example of that where Kevin Spacey was on the red carpet and a person was interviewing him like he were a woman. I'm like, hey, what are you wearing? And how did you do your hair? And how long did it take you to get ready? And have you been dieting for months before this event? And he was like, what the fuck? And so bugged out and offended. And it's just like, when you think about the questions that women are asked and the way that women are, you know, constantly reinforced through their physical appearance, you know, it's like, for you as a woman, how you look is a massive part of your identity. We are psychically identified with our physical selves in a different way. I'm not saying that men don't have their own challenges, but it's really specific to us. And I don't know. I do think that this is really socialized even for little girls. I mean, I don't know if you ever heard of that article, How to Talk to Little Girls, but it was remember she wrote how
I'm
you
trying to think if I
she kind of wrote about how we always just mention a little girl's clothes.
Oh, this is actually yes. I babysit. That's how I eat, and hopefully one day I can support myself as an actress. But I babysit, and I was talking, like, I talk to parents about this all the time because, okay, yes, people need to be confident and be proud of the way they look and happy with themselves. But at the same time, if your only interaction with the child, like, you don't normally see this child and your only interaction is about their physical appearance. It's just ridiculous because that's what they're going to take away. It's one thing if I'm spending 6 hours with them and in the middle of the day I say, oh, you know, like, I, that's a, let's say it looks like a cute pair of leggings or a comfortable pair of leggings. I don't, but the thing is, I'm with them for 6 hours. Like, I'd already said how like, curious they are, how insightful they are, and how they, that's a good observation. They learned that lesson well. Thank you for listening. Like, it's a, if, it's not a bad thing to have them be confident in, like, the way they look, but oftentimes people are just talking to strangers, and that's the one thing that they'll say to another kid, that the kid is cute, or that, oh, that's an adorable outfit, or, oh, like, look how pretty you are. And that's the only interaction. And yes, it's fine with being said, but not if that's the only time you're ever going to interact with this child, and that happens on a regular basis. Okay, sorry, I'm ranting again. It's I'm so worked up.
No, but it's really true, and I think that that's something that's really specific to the female experience, is just your value is so intertwined with how you look. And so even when you get street harassed, I mean, I think rejecting someone is also really hard. I have been in many situations with guys where I didn't want to sleep with them, but I did because it seemed easier than saying I didn't want to fuck them. Yep. So I was like, well, I just want to go home, so I'll just like do this and go home. You know, so it's like the idea of rejecting a man, I think that women are often conditioned to be more looking out for another person's feelings. And so even in the face of harassment, it's hard to be like, you're a fucking pig. You're disgusting. Yeah. Instead, you're like, huh, you know, and like smile awkwardly and move away, just because to make him feel bad about himself is almost too much for you to carry with you, or you, the ubiquitous you, for me to carry with me.
I completely agree. I've dealt with that same issue. Oh my goodness. Like you, I would never have even thought of that, but that's really true. And even the idea of feeling threatened if you're with them, like I've always said, oh yeah, like you can have my number because like, I don't want to be like conceited and assume that they want me sexually. I also don't want them to then hurt me. So I'm like, oh, it's just easier if I need to like block the number later, I'll do it.
Right.
But and I don't. Yeah. It's.
I know. And it's so I think that the extra added layer, you know, I mean, obviously, like the main thing is if we want to stop men from sexually harassing women, it has to start with men not doing that behavior.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, sure. Yeah. But the other counterpoint to that is, since this is part of what's happening, you know, we have to be somewhat empowered while that transition happens. And I mean, in my worldview, I'm thinking or I'm hoping that, you know, the more this is out in the ethos and people are dialoguing about it and it's important to them, then there will be an effort when you're raising your child and the men that are growing up and are exposed to this type of stuff, like the young teenage boys who saw that or whatever, you know, they will start to act differently. I definitely think this is going to take time, and it does take time to change people's behavior, you know, and I think that your video and your willingness to be vulnerable in that moment, I do think it will change some people's behavior. And do you feel optimistic about that, or do you feel proud?
I am very proud. The fact that I could propel this discussion, because clearly I get very worked up about the subject, and the fact that I even helped one person. I have had so many, like, despite the little bit of negativity, like, the majority has been positive, and people who have had this happen to them are saying, thank you, like, this has happened to me. Thank you for bringing it into the limelight. I've had guys saying, I didn't know this was happening. And I've also had guys who, like, yeah, I knew it was happening, but I thought it was, like, once a month. And it's, no, this is happening every day. It's a barrage. And even if it's just something that is words alone, you would say, oh, that's harmless. But it all adds up. And these harmless words have these awful intonations of people's voice behind them.
I mean, it's like that. Did you ever hear of that experiment that this Japanese physicist did where he looked at water and how water is impacted by different words? So he would put like hate and like you suck on water bottles, just those words. And then he'd be like, I love you, you're beautiful. And when he examined the molecules, the words that were hateful and aggressive and negative, like the water molecules were all fucked up and like janky looking. And then when there
that
was
doesn't
like
doesn't surprise me
when there yeah. was it's called like the hidden messages of water. And then
I
and
need
then,
to look that up. I'm gonna write that down.
And then the beautiful words, the molecules of the water looked exquisite. And if you think about our bodies being like 86% water or whatever it is, mm-hmm. words have an actual impact in the water of our bodies. You know, it's like yeah. I think it's really naive to say or to go under the assumption that like, oh, it's just words and, you know, people can say whatever and it can roll off your back. Like, that's actually really not true. I do think our cells internalize words and I think it has like a physical impact on us in a real way.
Yeah. I mean, I have had luckily they've subsided, but I have been told by doctors that I'm allergic to stress. Like, I have had physical incarnations of my mental difficulties. That sounds very strange, but basically, like, I was really stressed, and my face swelled up. I had hives everywhere, and I had to go to the ER and have them pump me with epinephrine.
Right, because you had too much, like, cortisol in your system. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I get, like, and this, that wasn't just one time. Like, that happened all throughout like probably half of my high school experience and my entire college experience. Whenever I got too stressed or too like I would have these allergic reactions, which normally you'd be like, oh, like you were stung by a bee for that reaction. It was the same kind of thing
right.
as if I like ate nuts, if I was allergic to nuts.
And the other thing that's really hard about that is that when, you know, this type of stress is triggered by sexuality. And sexuality is a huge part of intimacy and like building a family or being yeah. married or whatever. And when that's always this undertone inside of you and you feel somewhat ashamed of your sexual identity, then that's going to impact your intimacy with whoever you're in love with. I mean, there's a tragedy to that. It's really sad how so many victims who have been sexually assaulted, like how that always is this like texture to all their pure love that they could experience.
I also have something to add to that that I hadn't wanted to add to the media craziness, but a lot of, a lot of people are trying to figure things out, and I am actually bisexual, and I hadn't told my parents until about the time when this happened, and it's just so frustrating because it just caused even more stress. The fact that I'm thinking about, well, yes, I'm attracted to specific people, and some of them happen to have female genitalia, some happen to have male genitalia, and it's just so frustrating because if I was only attracted to people with female genitalia, it would be even more just infuriating. Because I wouldn't even want any attention
from men, right?
From men.
You're like, I'm not even in your market, man.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was putting myself in someone else's shoes, but I can put myself a lot into their shoes a lot easier because I am bisexual.
Right. I mean, I think that's really an interesting thought, and it's like when men are imposing their attraction to you. It's not even about whether you're attracted to them. No. You know, it's an imposition. It's a force. You know, yeah. I'm going to just force the fact that I think you have nice tits and you deal right. with it now. And it's like, no, that's your baggage. You deal mm-hmm. with my nice tits. I already know I have them in the shower.
I mean, it's true. I've, for some reason, all my life, my breasts have been public discussion. Just because I have them, people think they're okay to talk about. And it's all about – I read this article the other day about this woman releasing – doing a nude photo shoot. And it's not that she doesn't want people to see her body. It's about consent and her being the one to decide who sees her body because she had had photos leaked online that people were like – revenge porn.
I saw that video. I posted it on Facebook. Yeah, that was amazing.
I love that video.
And so it's like, amazing.
I am so proud of my body. I love my body. It's not exactly the way I want it to be, but what it is, I'm proud of, and I work on it. And it's just, I choose who gets to see it. And like, the law in New York says that we're allowed to go around topless. I would love to do that, but then I would have to deal with all of these people who would take this catcalling further because it escalates so quickly.
Yeah, and exactly. And I think that the thing that was really interesting about this woman's story where her pictures were taken and then her actually doing a nude photo shoot to kind of counteract the violation that she experienced, it's about the idea of consent. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's something – I have a friend who started a nonprofit about rape culture, and she talks a lot about the idea of enthusiastic consent, you know, and I think that that's something that I think that men have to really be educated on, is that when someone is really enthusiastic and consenting to whatever sexual energy you're putting out there, then please go ahead and continue. But if it's ambiguous and you're not sure, then
if you're saying like, err on the side of caution. I guess I will do this sexual thing with you. Like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, that's not the same as saying, yeah, let's have sex.
I'm really into it. Yeah, I'm so into your commenting on me. I mean, maybe for some people it would feel good and the experience of a cat call would be reciprocated, you know, but you have to have that enthusiastic consent. And when that's not what you're seeking and you're basically instead trying to just push your sexual energy on another person, that is a like a verbal rape of sorts. You know, and you're not concerned with consent at all.
And people tend to forget that consent, like once you give consent, doesn't mean that it's everlasting. If someone decides that they don't like something, they can say, no, okay, I'm not okay with this anymore. And people, I think that also gets people refuse to ignore when people take away consent.
That's a really
if they're not feeling
right, exactly. And then with married couples, when a husband used to rape his wife, that was totally okay. That wasn't even seen as illegal.
Even vice versa, because I actually one of my ex-boyfriends had told me that the first time he had sex, he was like sort of shamed into it by saying like, "Oh, what? You're not a man. Like, you don't want to have sex with me." And he lost his virginity to someone who sort of like bullied him into having sex with her.
Oh God. Right. Exactly. That's a really good point, that it's not just the psychological stronghold of pressure isn't just male to female, or it has male to male. It can be female to male because we have a really strong psychological impact on each other. I mean, that's why a lot of torture is psychological. It's not just physical.
And I've been thinking about this a lot the last couple of days because, like, guys get tired, too. They're tired after work. Like, I was talking with my boyfriend about it the other day. The fact that, like, he understands that I'm not always in the mood for sex. I need to understand that he's not always in the mood for sex. Like, and just because, like it's – bullying someone into doing something doesn't mean it's consensual. It means they just sort of, like, give in.
And just because someone gives in – doesn't mean they want to do it. And even though there's a lot of grayness around that area, is that the type of sexual encounter people want to be having? I mean, in my worldview, we should all be having really enthusiastic, happy, healthy, enjoyable, you know, mutual sex.
Yeah, and if people don't want to do it that way, then they need to decide upon it beforehand and have a safe word.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Well, I want to say that.
Kumquat.
Cacao. I was just, you know, when I saw your video, I was just really moved by it for a variety of reasons. And I think that, you know, even though you have experienced some negativity and some backlash, I just want to thank you for putting it out there, because I do think you ignited a really important conversation that's going to continue far beyond. And there was something really powerful about your statement. And I just want to express gratitude for you putting yourself out there and doing the video, because it was really powerful.
Hearing you say that to me is just, it makes me so happy that I did it. I mean, I was already happy that I did it, but I mean, this adds to it tenfold, because this is, this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to share. I wanted to help. And if it helped anybody, like, I'm so glad I did it. And I appreciate your comments so much. I tried responding to some of the positive things that people were sending my Facebook and my Twitter amidst the negativity. And I did send some personal messages back to people. And I have been talking with some people I didn't know before. And it's been really wonderful getting to hear other people's experiences. And the fact that this person who's probably about my age in her mid-20s, like, wanted to let me know that she was teaching her niece about the world by showing her, by talking to her about my story, and that this little girl is learning from me. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And I think that the main thing is that what you've done is you've exposed something in a really, really, really simple and easy to digest way that anybody could look at that. And I don't think one person can argue with the fact that this is a fucking problem and it needs to be addressed and we need to talk about it. And in order to address it, it can't just be the woman's problem. It can't be the man's problem. We have to collectively figure out how to create a healthier dynamic between the genders. So even though, you know, sexuality is always going to be complicated, it has to be predicated on respect.
I love what you say. I completely agree. It has been wonderful talking with you, by the way.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.